thank God for, you know, these opportunities to actually be used and be of service to my King. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy to us, Lord. Thank you for our Savior. Father, we beseech you even tonight, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, I just ask that you might stir us up, Lord, use us for your glory, Father. Father, we ask you tonight that you might still our hearts and our minds, Lord, and help us to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we... Okay, the first night we took a look at atheism. And we looked at atheism through the scriptures. The second night, we looked at religion and how religion never did anybody any good. To this day, it's still not doing anybody any good. Religion is not going to get you to heaven. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way, no matter what anybody tells you. So tonight, we're going to take a little bit of a look at Christians. We have something that religion doesn't have. Religion's got no power. Absolutely zero. Nothing. Whatever power religion has, it's either man-made, you know, little smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. Or any of the power that they have is coming from Satan. All right, we looked last week. You know, there are two fathers, and you get to pick which one is yours. You know, God, if you look in the scriptures, and this is the thing that always cracks me up. The scriptures are funny sometimes. You know? God purposely, all the time, seemed to choose men who would be the last person you would ever pick. And place them against impossible odds. You ever notice that? All the time. I mean, it's consistent in the scriptures. It is consistent. You know, if it was us, you know, we're going to look for the guy who's got the most talent. Who's the best looking. Okay, so we lost out on both of those tonight. But it's consistent in the scriptures. Somebody said one time, if you could explain it, God didn't do it. You look at Moses. You look at Moses. This guy wasn't raised in a Christian home. He wasn't raised a Jew. He complained to the Lord that, I can't speak. So would that be the guy that you would pick? Not me. I'd be looking at somebody who was walking with the Lord. Someone who was close with God. Not a guy that was raised under the Pharaoh. I mean, you know, I know his mother... You know, weaned him when he was young and was probably feeding him with that scripture. And we know God's word doesn't return void. But that wouldn't have been the guy I picked. You look at David. When Samuel went looking for David, they presented him with everybody but David. All the big guys. All the guys who had potential. That's who they brought before him. But David was, the Bible said David was, I think, small and ruddy. He was just, as Frank Termine would say, he was just a ute. Many times, Israel, by God's design, was outnumbered. Almost all the time. Impossible odds. Ah, you got too many guys to fight, don't worry about it. No, it's still too many. It's still too many. That's the way God works. Why? Because God has power. We look on the outward man. Look at King Saul. Boy, that worked out real good, didn't it? How did he get the job? He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He got the job because he was the biggest guy. That's it. He's the guy that should have been out fighting Goliath. It should have been the big guy against the big guy. Well, the Lord didn't do it that way. He sent out the Ute. And Saul started out all right. And then when he started doing things under his own power, guess what? He lost the power of the Holy Ghost. All right? You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon him and it didn't stay. It wasn't indwelling. And once that was removed, boy, he was in a whole lot of trouble. We looked at the first night. You know, the power of God is displayed throughout the Bible. It's displayed throughout the universe. It was put out there for everybody to see. That's why there were really no true atheists. Excuse me. When you think about it, just the way the world was created. You realize, according to the scriptures, it was just spoken into existence. You know, they didn't have to pay no architect, no building department, like that. You didn't need to go to Home Depot to get material. Boom! Kill! That's the Big Bang Theory. But it ain't no theory. That's the way it happened. I'm sure that it wasn't done in a whisper. I'm sure when God created that universe, man, it was displayed and heard everywhere like a bolt of lightning. Let's go to Psalms 29. Look at verse 3. It says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." You know, when Moses and the Lord were at Mount Sinai, when he spoke, it wasn't a whisper. The children of Israel, when they came to the foot of the mountain, they were frightened. They didn't even want. Thank you, brother. They didn't even want to deal with the Lord anymore. You know, Moses, you go up and talk with him. That's all right. We'll wait over here and come back and tell us. The Lord had displayed his power for Israel to see. Look at Jeremiah 10. I don't want you to take for granted anything I have to say. Jeremiah 10, look at verse 10. "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. And at his wrath the earth shall tremble, and all the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods," small g, "that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens." Verse 13. "When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning and rain and bring forth the wind out of his treasure." You know, the Lord's voice thundereth. You know, just take a look at Revelation, boy. You start getting excited. And I know Pastor Mel used to say, "You see the white horse, I'm on the horse on the right side coming back." That is going to be something. And, you know, everybody kind of read it and go, "Oh, yeah, that's like, it's almost like the book of Genesis." Man, this stuff is going to happen. This is real. It is real. You know, I didn't notice it until I came in. Look at that. Ecclesiastes 8:4. "Where the word of the king is, there is power." There is power. Let's go to Jeremiah 32. Verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Go to verse chapter 51. Just laying some groundwork. Chapter 51. He hath made the earth. Verse 15. He had made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Just the creation of the world was done in power. You know, we serve a powerful God. You know, religion is just dead. It's powerless. Now, I took the opportunity, I think it was last year, just to wander into some other denominations. Man, they're dead. They're dead. No power. The one little Baptist church I happened to wander in and thought, wow, something's different here. Something's different. Something's different. The guy was preaching from a King James Bible. There's power out of this book. Power. No doubt about it. You know, if you got one of those Mickey Mouse Bibles, I mean, that's okay. You know, have at it. Not a problem. You just look at the way God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was a testimony for Israel and to Gentile nations. Go to Exodus 14. You know, I just love this here. Exodus 14. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall shew you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We all know this story, at least I hope you do. Every Jew should know it. Look at verse 19. And the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood between them. You know, when the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army was there, children of Israel started shaking in their boots, started moaning and groaning like they usually do. Oh, it would have been better we died in Egypt, you know, all this nonsense. You know, God put a cloud between the two of them. And I'm willing to bet that cloud was like pea soup. Those poor guys probably couldn't see their hands in front of their face. They were probably stumbling around, bumping into each other, falling over things. These guys had already seen the power of God, but stubborn and rebellious. Stubborn and rebellious. You know what? Just like we looked at last week, I'm willing to bet they believed in God. They seen the power of the God of Israel with the plagues. They saw it. It's still rejected. Go to verse 22. This is great. When God displays his power, he displays it. Look at verse 19. Oh, we did that, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Look at verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. It's just dry ground. You know, when you read through Exodus, God makes a big point of that. It's mentioned at least four more times. They walked upon dry ground. When he parted those waters, I mean, it sopped up every lick of moisture that was in that earth. And it says there was a wall on each side of them. You know, a guy like me be walking through looking for fish, but I don't think so. With them on our tail, because it says the Pharaoh followed them right down in there. That takes some nerve. God does it right. When he displays his power, you know it's God. If you could explain it, God didn't do it. You go down to verse 25. I think Pastor mentioned this a few weeks ago. And he took off the chariot's wheels that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against Egypt." They knew it. They saw it. I mean, you talk about having a breakdown, and they didn't have. And let me tell you something. AA wasn't going to come to put those wheels back on. God displayed his power. There is power with God. Power. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Nothing new. This is stuff we all know. We'll start in verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated." Well, you know the whole story. They wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't worship. So you know what? They're going into the furnace. "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and what? These guys had faith in the Lord. I mean, faith in the Lord. They knew what was going to happen. He took the mightiest men he could find and he bound them up. And he was so mad, make the fire as hot as you can get it. And we know the story. What happens? Throw them in. And then we know, you know, hey, didn't we throw in three guys? Wait a minute. There's another guy in there. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, no, we threw in three. Verse 24, we might as well read it. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst." You got to remember, you look at the verse before, they fell down in that fire. Now it says, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." People knew who he was. People recognized the power of God, recognized who he was. Here's the best part. Go to verse 20. It's all good, but go to verse 27. "And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." These guys didn't even stink with smoke. You ever go camping? And you sit around a campfire and all your marshmallows are dropping in there and boy, you stink. Not for nothing. I can remember when I was a kid, used to go to the Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts were camping and they would make them come in last. Because when they came in, oh my gosh, You could smell the smoke when we get the firemen. I could tell when the firemen are at the hospital. You smell smoke all over the place. They didn't even stink with smoke. It says not even a hair on their head was singed. Nothing. The power of God. You know, Jesus' power was on display for all to see. Look at Matthew chapter 11. You know what? It's the same God. It's the same God. You know what? You see the God that parted that Red Sea? The God that walked in the midst of that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, that's the same God you serve today. It's the same God. There's no difference. That's Him. That's the God I serve. Remember, I don't serve no unknown God. I know who He is. Matthew chapter 11. This is John the Baptist's disciples. You know, they were sent to Jesus. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go, shew John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus didn't really hide who He was. It was there for everybody to see. The power of God was displayed. You know, the neat thing about that is, when Christ was around, nobody could stay dead. Nobody. Every time, you know, oh, there was somebody dead. You know, Jesus came and said, I can see that now. We're going, oh boy, here we go again. You ever think about some of those people that God raised from the dead? They had to die all over again. Talk about getting a bum deal. That close! No, you're going to have to die again. So did we. We had to die twice. Die to self. And we looked at last week, you know, in Acts 26. Let's go here. I don't want to misquote anything. Acts 26. You know, with King Agrippa. Down to verse 25, but he said unto him, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hid from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. They all knew what was going on. They all knew. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew they had to destroy Him. They knew it. They knew it. Go to Luke 23. We'll start in verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. You know, this is after Jesus was brought to him. And Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herodias' jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Jesus, just like when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, The other nations feared and trembled because they knew they were coming. They knew that God fought their battles. Everybody knew about Jesus. They knew. The religious people, like we looked at last week, the religious people knew. They knew. The government knew. The leaders knew. Jesus displayed his power out in the open. The apostles were given power to heal and cast out devils, all for a sign to the Jews. The scripture said Jesus did so many miracles that the scriptures couldn't even all be written down. You know, John 21:25. The world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That's how many things he did. Couldn't even be recorded. Couldn't even be recorded. Jesus had power. There was power. There's power in the Word of God. You know, some of you guys understand this. I guess it's a guy thing. You know, when cordless power tools first came out, I hated them. I didn't like them. I didn't trust them. You know, give me a good Milwaukee or Porter cable or a good Hilti drill, something I could plug in that's got real power. Real power. You know, that's what's the difference between us and religion. We got the real power, not them. Power was what separated the homeowner tools from the commercial stuff. Really. I mean, you'd go, I can remember in the old days. I mean, I know I'm old. You'd go to the store and you'd buy a little plastic Black and Decker drills and all this stuff. Use it twice, throw it away. Because in them days, we didn't throw anything away. Couldn't afford them. Cheap stuff. Cheap stuff. My wife always yells at me because, you know, we watch some of those stupid women home show things, you know. If it wasn't for cordless drills, women would not have home improvement shows anymore. Because before, you needed some muscle to turn the screw. You had to use that Yankee screwdriver. It took some power. Now, you know, every schmuck in a little drill. Sorry, but it's the truth. It's the truth. But, you know, now it's commonplace. Cordless tools have already proved themselves. When they first came out, I remember the 9.5 volts. What, are you kidding me or what? Now, they're 18 volts. And I think there's some have even more power than that. And now you can get a cord, you know, anything from a cordless vacuum cleaner to a cordless chainsaw. Because they proved themselves. You know, it took a little while for me to be convinced to actually start using those things. You know, sometimes we need to be convinced of the Lord's power. The Lord allows situations to come into our lives just so he could display and prove to us that we should trust him. That was my problem with cordless tools in the beginning. I didn't trust them. Had no confidence in them. You know, over the years that I've been saved, I have seen the power of God. I've seen it. I wish, I repent that I didn't write it down and record it every time I've seen it. Because, boy, I've seen it. Just me getting saved, that was a big one right there. And then my wife gave me a hard time about it. But I trusted God. I said, I don't care, God. I know this is real. And then my wife could see. I can remember when Melissa was first born. Oh, boy, was she colic. Colic like you wouldn't believe, to the point I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. We didn't sleep for weeks, to the point where out of frustration, you know, the good Christian God I am, I put my fist through the bathroom door and knocked it right off the hinges. Put it back. I put it back, though, brother, and I left that hole for years as a reminder that I didn't trust God. And I remember one night, I remember we went to Clove Lakes Nursing Home. It was around Christmas. And we went in there, and Joe Silvestri, and we did the service. And I went home that night. My wife was still on the bed with Karen Silvestri, bawling her eyes out. And we went to bed, and I went to bed at night, and Melissa was crying. And I closed my eyes. I said, Lord, you know what, I'm going to sleep. And that baby's going to stop crying. You know, God did it. That was the end. There was no colic after that. I never thought my father would get saved. There we were in the Philippines. I was down on my knees with another guy praying for his father and my father, me telling my father, as if we went to ICU. Came back. You know, they weren't going to let me in, but they understood I was out of the country, and they let me in. He's out of ICU, and 2 days, pastor calls me up. You got to go see your dad. My father, when I got saved, was going to write up a will just to leave me out because I became a Christian. My father's in heaven right now. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. We serve a mighty, powerful God. You know, it's like your GPS. When we first got a GPS, first off, I don't like taking directions from a woman. That was my first mistake. I didn't trust the thing. I didn't trust it for nothing. I'm like, no, this ain't right. Are you kidding me? I was waiting for the thing to come on and say, hey, look, if you're not going to listen to me, just turn me off, will you? Because I didn't trust it yet. Didn't trust it. You need to trust the power of the living God. In the martial arts, like most sports, we spend countless hours working on developing explosive power. You know, there's no substitute for it. No substitute for power or the lack of it. You know, sometimes God spends countless hours working on reminding me of His power, which is in me. Sometimes we forget, you know what? The battle's been won. It's already won. We have the victory. You know, death and hell is defeated. It's just a matter of time now. We're just occupying. Just waiting. Just waiting, you know, His days are numbered. It's coming, I'm telling you. This is real. This is real. That's why it's under such attack. That's why it's under such attack. Go to John chapter 1. This should be real familiar to everybody. Real familiar. You know, it talks about Israel rejecting their Savior, rejecting God. Look at verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not them that go to this church or that church or do this or do that. You know what? You have the power to become the sons of God. The sons of God. I remember my wife telling me a story, and I think it might have been Steve Upton. Well, he was here on Sagayan Avenue, and he went to the deli. And there was a young Guido guy, you know. I don't know what else to call him. You know, so, forgive me, I'm old school. And the guy was in there, and he was mouthing off and giving the guy a hard time. And the guy says to him, he says, you know what? You know who my father is. You know, I guess, you know, one of those wannabe guys. And evidently the guy he was talking to was saved. He says, yeah. He says, do you know who my father is? He's God Almighty. I love that, man. When you start handing those things out, it's all witness to somebody. Go, hey, you know who my father is? I love that. What an answer that was. That was good. That was good. I bet you the angels in heaven were leaning over, chuckling, going, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one, yeah. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Come on. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, I know along the line I kind of messed my mind up a little bit. But you know what? I don't have the spirit of fear. I have the spirit of power. And it's not my power. because it said God gave it. Comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. Now, Romans 1 verse 4. The gospel is the power of God. You know what? There's power in the gospel. There is power. You know why people hate it so much? Because there's power in it. There's no resisting. Hebrews 4:12, same thing, familiar verse. For the word of God is quick. You know, I know it means made alive. I like it in the martial arts. Quick, you know. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You know, you're sitting there in your lap with the most powerful thing in the universe. A-bombs, satellites, all that nonsense. None of it could compare to the power of the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. There is nothing anywhere that can compare. Nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. To us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's the power of God. The gospel's got power. For all you guys who do home improvement work, I know a lot of you are going to understand this. Well, yeah, now with the cordless drills, maybe not. But, you know, there's nothing worse than being up on a ladder and all the way up on the roof. I remember years ago you had to, you know, drag your extension cord up and, you know, tie all kinds of knots in it, and because you'd be pulling it like this and it unplug and it would slide off the roof. Or you start using it and it would blow a breaker and you're on the roof or you're on the top floor and you got to climb down a ladder, go all the way downstairs, go in the house, find a breaker, reset the breaker, and then go reset the clocks. And then there's the VCRs, which I had no idea how to do to begin with. It was just a nuisance. It was just a nuisance. Now, if you do that, you got to have one of those ground fault protectors. You know, it's the Spirit of God that's protecting you right there. But the worst thing is, with the cordless equipment, you're in the middle of the job. And the battery starts running low. You know, you tested it before you used it. You know, you took it like this and went, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. But the minute you put it under a load, it went, boom. That's religion. Looks good on the surface, but boy, that's dead as a doornail. Dead as a doornail. Never there when you need it. Got that spade bit in there, and I want to drill a hole through there. And like religion, never there when you need it. Or the thing finally just gives up the ghost. Many Christians today are walking around low on power. Or no power at all. You know, when we blow a circuit breaker, it's usually because we're working under our own power. Not taking advantage of the power that God has given us. In Zechariah 4:6, not my might nor my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 1 Peter chapter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. Go to Matthew chapter 11. This is what we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, same thing. These are verses that, boy, we should have hidden in our heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? We shouldn't be blowing any circuit breakers. Shouldn't happen. A lot of times when that happens in our life, you know, we're usually doing a work for God, not a work of God. Been there, guilty. Been there, guilty. You know, running low on power or out of power, you should always have an extra battery on charge all the time. Don't just rely on the pastors. Don't rely on just coming to church and preach. You need to have something at home plugged in. You need to be able to recharge yourself. Don't rely on everybody else. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Here we go. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know what? You want to keep your battery charged? You better renew it every single day. I bet you go home, well, except for my wife. I bet you go home and plug your cell phone in every night. Make sure that's got a full charge. I know some people, they have to go to a house phone and call it just to find it. I'm not mentioning anybody's names. That's how you get yourself in trouble. Okay. All right, go to Romans chapter 12. Yeah, I know it's with their glasses and their car keys. And, enough. That's enough. Stop. Yeah, some of you are laughing because you probably do the same thing. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing. Renewing that mind has to be done daily. You want the power of God? You got to renew your mind all the time, every day. You know what? If you don't plug in, boy, your battery's going to die. It is going to die. Fellowship. You know what? Fellowship's real important. You know, I don't mean to go hang out on the street corner and, well, you can if you're handing out tracts or street preaching. That's pretty good. That's right. You can do that. Fellowship's important, you know. Somebody said, fellowship, you know, fellows in the same ship. You know, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Working side by side. That's what's going to keep you strong. That's what's going to charge you. I loved Sunday when they were talking about what a great time they had doing distribution because they were together. They were working together. They were fellowship. Fellowship and serving God together. You know, I know Wayne used to, if I can remember it. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know why we get together? Iron sharpeneth iron. You want to stay strong? You want to have power? We need to be together. Need to be together. Need to be in God's word. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be here together. It's the only way you're going to keep your battery charged. The only way you're not going to blow a circuit. The only way you're going to have the power of God inside you. You have the power to become the sons of God. We have the gospel is the power of God. Power. Too many Christians walking around. I know life is tough. I know. They already called me twice at work since I left. You know, I know what it's like. But we should be like the Energizer Bunny. Hey, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord the whole time. Keep going. Keep going. I'd kind of like to be, I loved it when it was, what was it? I always get them confused. Elijah and Elisha. I love that. Well, you know, before I get taken away, you know, everybody's going, oh, you know, your master's leaving today. Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. What would you like to have before I'm taken away? I want a double portion of what you got. Give me a double portion. I'll take two. That's what I want. That's what I want. I've been around some guys. I've seen guys who had the power of God all over them. You just look at them and you see it. Like when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he spent all that time with God. His skin shone. You know, you knew that guy was with God. You know what? You run into those guys. You go, wow, man, that guy's with God today. You can see it. It's evident. It's there. The power of God's upon him. You know, when you get saved, we receive all the power we need. You have it all. It's there. I can see the devil going, wow, the force is strong in this one. You got the Spirit of God inside you. You got all the power you need. Just got to learn to use it. Learn to trust it. Learn to trust it. As we mature as Christians, we should have more power, not less. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, see that? I heard God now. Okay. It's not the angels bawling, let me tell you. Chapter 5, look at verse 11. Of whom ye have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, and I've been there. Sometimes you need to be taught again. The most frustrating thing in my Christian life is when I thought I learned something, and then you got to learn it all over again. I go, oh Lord, but I got that down. Oh yeah? No, you don't. Time to go back to school. Time to go back to school. You know, in our martial art class, you know, and actually there are different skill levels. Everybody's the same, but there are different skill levels, and you know, we like to have them, you know, break their boards and stuff. And one of the reasons for it is for them to see and experience the power that they're developing. You want to know why you build things with the Lord? So you get to experience His power. That's the reason. That's the reason. And there's a progression. It's there. You know, when we have the little guys, that's what they start with. And Pat Mishanya. No, I'm only kidding. That's where they start. You got to start someplace. But you know what? You already have enough power, and it's the basics. We always have them do basic technique. Basic technique. basic stuff. You know, like the guy that was born blind, you know, when he was before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hey, was a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is one thing, but once I was blind, now I see. That's all you need to know, the good news of the gospel. That's all you need. Then we start stepping them up a little bit. Then they go to their bigger boards. I mean, you're not saying basic technique. Just a little more of an obstacle. It's the same thing. The same thing. It's the same for us here. There's no difference. We need to see the power of God, but each time it's going to be something a little more difficult. A little more difficult. And we keep increasing the sizes or start stacking the boards. Because you know what, where there's no vision, the people perish. Got a vision. We're on mission fields all around the world. And it's not like we're paying somebody else to go. Got to have a vision. You got to be able to experience the power of God. Experience it. The power of God's within you. It's within you. Can't beat the basics. It's the best. You may not know the size of the wings on a seraphim or how many there really are. Who the heck cares? You know, who cares? I hear people debate all these stupid things. Just put on FME. No, you'll shoot yourself in the head. Who cares? All I know is the gospel. That's all you need to know. You know, so we like to expand or horizons. So we go from here to here to here. And it's the same with our Christian walk. You know, we like to, after they make it to a certain point, well, you know what, they start having a different vision, start breaking other materials. You know, as my wife hates concrete or ice. Well, when we were talking before, when I was thinking about baseball bats, you should be stronger as you get older in the Lord. You know, the reason why we start going to different material, because it tests your spirit. It tests your resolve. It tests what's in here. As the Japanese call it, Bushido, the way of the warrior. You know what? Lord's going to test your spirit. He wants to display His power, and He's going to display it through you. As a Christian, I want to finish strong. I'm getting older. I'm not getting younger. My body tells me all the time, I'm getting older, but I want to finish. I want to finish strong. Amen. Strong, I want to finish. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Boy, that's a lot to read. We'll just look down in verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the way I want it to end for me. I want to finish my course. Pastor Mel used to say he was never going to quit, because the minute he quit, the Lord was going to come. I want to finish strong. Basics. I get, you know, the three gorillas. We got Mike. Who else? Mike and Mike. Anybody else? I need some holders. A couple holders. Okay, you can't beat the basics. You know, can't beat the basics. The gospel is simple. I mean, I know. It's just a simple board. Boom. The basics. Just a simple reverse punch. You can't beat it. There's nothing better. Nothing better. Okay, so we'll get the long board. We'll have to line it up here. Don't worry, honey. I'll get my shoes back on as soon as possible. Okay, so I don't know how we're going to do this. We'll probably face it this way. So I'm going to need some room. So we get somebody in the middle. We get a, you know, like this, just like that. Hand on top. Hand on the bottom. Okay. Good, strong. Oh, we forgot to call the kids. Who's that? Doesn't matter. Okay, so it's just a simple, basic stuff. Simple stuff. Yeah, I'm so old now. I'll probably stick as a board anyhow. Just simple. Oh! Does it change my faith? Heck no. Those guys are strong. I went back 20 feet. Try it again. Use your left leg, the least likely person you would use.